As we begin Sefer Shemos, where the action Ke'ilu moves away from the Ovos to Klal Yisrael, and of course through Moshe Rabbeinu, we ought to spend a little time to try and understand this strange shidduch of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu married Zipporah, the daughter of Yisrael, a family which used to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It's really a strange kind of shidduch, and the Maral in the Gvuros in Perek Yutes raises that issue. So he says, "Lefichoch tzorich liten tam lomo hoyaze, v'lomo lo nischatin bezera hakodesh. Why didn't he find a nice Jewish girl? V'dova ze hoyasiba shloi hoyu b'nei Moshe b'madregas b'nei Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't zeicher to the kind of godless in his children that Aaron had in his children. Umizeh lomdu chazal sheyeh ha'odam dovek b'mishpocha miyuchesas. V'im kein ma hoyso hasibo sheyeh dova ze shedovak Moshe b'vas umo acheres. V'hine, the Ramaral says, dova ze kushya gedoyla ma'od. Very, very big kushya. Oh, but v'chasha tovin dva chochma teda. It wasn't just a coincidence. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu married not a Mishpochem Yuchesas is an Indian Muflam Ma'od. Kasha teda ki shokul hoyo Moshe Rabbeinu olav hasholom neged kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was shokul keneged all the Yidden, and he brings the Chazal later on. V'zeh shedoshu hadoresh isho achas hoyso b'mitzrayim v'yoldo shishim riboy v'keres echad. There was one woman who in one pregnancy bore 600,000 Yidden. No, obviously it doesn't mean that she actually bore 600,000 Yidden in one pregnancy. Ella she yoldo es Moshe sheshokloi hakosuf neged shishim riboy. V'dova zeh kasher teda madregas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hasholom. Teda lehoven ze shoho yoshokol neged shishim riba mi Yisrael. No. So Moshe Rabbeinu had in himself whatever the shishim riba of Klal Yisrael had in themselves. Umipnei shekol isho ezer leish ubaskiloi. And since the wife which we marry is supposed to be an ezer for us, to help us, kedersiv eseloi ezer kenegdoi, mashma baskiloi, that she is exactly and precisely suited to help her husband. V'lo yitochen ze shetiyeh isho achas mishishim riboy baskiloi shehu levad shokul keneged shishim riboy. So no Jewish girl had that ability to add anything to Moshe Rabbeinu, because he himself contained in himself whatever shishim riboy has, whatever quality there was in any girl within Klal Yisrael, he already had. Avol hagerim shehem chutz mi Yisrael ve'enam bichlal shishim riboy mi Yisrael. A ger who isn't included in the shishim riboy, yosem mizdavek leMoshe ba'avur hashivui hazeh. He had to have a wife who came from outside Klal Yisrael, because whatever Klal Yisrael had, he already had. So therefore, he had to find a wife outside Klal Yisrael, and that turned out to be Zipporah, the daughter of Yisrael. Now, was that just, okay, like here was he happened to be going to Midian, and there Yisrael happened to be, and the daughters happened to come with the sheep? Obviously not. So is there something special in Yisrael that made him the ideal father of Zipporah and the ideal father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's a very interesting shaila, and the Maral also tackles that. I'll read you that shtickel also from Perek Yutes in the Gevuras. He says, "V'chein Yisroi mitzad atzmoi, afal pisho hoyo oived avoyde zoro, yesh le Yisroi shayochos le Moshe." That Yisroi has a special something in common with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'teida zeh b'mesho amru chachamim, shloi hiniach avoyde zoro, shloi avoda. Wow, that makes him very Moshe Rabbeinu Dick, that he served every single Avodah Zorah. What's going on over here? But that is mamash what Rashi brings over here, that when Yisrael came to visit Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, so what does he say? Asher hitzir azam ezer tarad yad b'tzayim, ata yodati ki godel Hashem mikol Elohim. I see that God is greater than any other Elohim, sagt Rashi. Melamed sho yomakir b'chol avoyda zoro sheba'olam, shlo hiniach avoyda zoro shlo yavoda. Yisrael had served every single avoyda zoro. Now what does that mean? Why would anybody want to do that? So that's what Maral tackles over here. Aber gash sho yoyved avoyda zoro, yesh li Yisrael shayochus l'moyshe. Beteida zeba mesho amru chachomim, shlo hiniach avoyda zoro shlo yavoda. There wasn't a single avoyda zoro that he did not serve. He wasn't just a plain idol worshipper. A normal idol worshipper has his own little idol, and that's the one he serves because he feels an affinity to that idol. Yisrael had in himself the potential to serve such a God, who Elokeo Elokim Koilel HaKoil. He is really roy to serve a God who incorporates within himself every possible koyach. Umipnei zela ho Yisrael oimed al avoyde zora achas, sheyesh lo koyach proti echad. One avoyde zora wouldn't have helped Yisrael in any way, because that avoyde zora only had one particular aspect, one particular koyach. Ki oivet avoid the Zorah zeh, oivet lekoyach zeh, zeh oivet lekoyach acha. But vuhu yizborach koylel kola koychas. V'yisroel oinocho daita bikoyach echot proti. Aval hoyo oivet es kulam, hoyo choysher ki zeh roiloi. He understood that he has to serve every single idol, because anything less than totality is not something for Yisroel. V'zeh mimalas Yisroel shlo hoyo muchon liyos dovek bekoyach proti. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a koyach kloli. That Moshe Rabbeinu had within himself the klolus of Klal Yisrael. Every single koyach which anybody in Klal Yisrael could have was by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a person who was attracted to klolius. He was attracted to a totality. We'll get back to Yisrael in a few moments, but to be mevaya what this means, that Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have had a koyach kloli. Want to go one moment to Zois HaBrocha. I may have mentioned this before, I don't remember whether it was in any of the other shiurim, but that Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu needed also to understand the totality of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's at the end of V'zois HaBrocha. Just want to read this passage and just mention this. Agavurcha, although our Ica interest over here is Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu really also concerns us. So what does it say over there? V'yal Moshe me'avos moyav el ha'nevoi, Rosh ha'pisko, Mamash Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, Asher al p'nei yerechai, V'yareyu Hashem es kol ha'oretz, es ha'gilod ad don. He showed him everything. Ves kol naftoli, ves eretz Ephraim o Menashe, ves kol eretz Yehuda ad hayomu acharein, ves ha'negev, ves ha'kiko, bikas yirecho, yihatmorim. All these things the Ribbono Shel Olam showed him. Zog Rashi, ves kol naftoli, why kol naftoli? Her'ehu atzoi b'shalvoso v'churbono. He showed him the land of Naftoli when it was at peace and when it was destroyed. Mekedesh Naphtali, Nilchomim and Sisro Vachailoisa, we showed him that also. Ves Eretz Ephraim and Menashe, Hereyu Atzom Beshalvoso Uvachurbona, again, Beshalvo and in Churban. Hereyu Yoshua Nilcham and Malchi Kanan, Shabom Ephraim, Vegidon Shabom and Menashe, Nilcham and Midian Vamolek. Ves Eretz Yehuda, Beshalvoso Uvachurbona. והרי הוא מלכוס בית דוד ונצחנו עד היום האחרון ארץ המערב בשלבו עשו וחורבנו. What's this business that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in Moshe Rabbeinu's last few moments of life showed him בשלבו עשו וחורבנו? Now I haven't seen this in any sefer, so I'm saying it only misvoro, my own svoro. I included that in the book that I published recently about Parshas Hazinu. In the introduction to Hazinu, I mentioned this, what I'm saying, going to say now. I don't know whether it's Emes, but I think it may be Emes. And that is that, why did the Rebbeinu Shel Olam show him b'shalvoso b'churbono? Why did he have to show him both the shalva and the churban? I think that the pshat is like this, that earlier, after Moshe Rabbeinu had been mispallel so successfully about the Chet HaEgel, and he got the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to back down on Kviyochel, on every single gezeira which he made over there, and everything that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to accomplish with his tefillah, he had accomplished. So he dared to ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Hareini no es kavodecha, show me your kavod. So on that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, no, ki lo yirani ho'odam v'chai. I cannot show my covert to a person who is living in this physical world. That is something which is reserved to a time when the earth will have lost its physicality. Lo yirani ho'odam v'chai. As a living being, you cannot see my covert. I have the feeling that in these few last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he had already separated himself completely from everybody. He had been in Avos Moav together with the Yidden, and it says over here in the Pasuk, Vayal Moshe me'Avos Moav el ha'Nevoi, that he went up from Avos Moav to ha'Nevoi. Chazal say that, what does it mean he went up? It means he went up in one jump. There were X number of madregas, of levels to get up on that mountain. You had to mount up first the level number one, then level number two, level number three. There were seven madregas all the way till the top. And Moshe Rabbeinu leapt a leap, one leap which got him to the top. In other words, he didn't go up madrega by madrega, level by level. He went with one huge leap. He went mamish to the top of the mountain. What's implied in that? What's so important about that? What would have been if he would have gone up step by step? I think that what it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu felt himself now as unconnected to this world. The minute he left Klal Yisrael, this was it. Now he was Moshe Rabbeinu as himself. Till then, his whole life he had lived relative ke'ilu to Klal Yisrael, and he had belonged to the people, and he had to be Moshe Nefesh himself for the people, and give up all kinds of madregas which perhaps on his own he could have attained, and didn't, because he was Meshubba to the people. Now when he finally left on his way up to Ha'Nevoi, he knew that this was the moment when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam would finally take him. So he felt himself separate from this world. And that's why he wasn't limited in his going up to Ha'Nevoi, that he should be limited to go madrega by madrega by madrega by madrega. In one leap he was on top. What had he meant when he said to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Hareini no es kavodecha? What had he meant by that? What covered? What did he want to see? So again, I don't know whether what I'm going to say now is true, but I think it is true. And that is that we can figure out what covered is by knowing what Chilul Hashem is. If we know what is Mechalel Kviyochel Chas V'Shalom, the shame of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so we know what is Mechabit him. So the pshat is like this. What is Chilul Hashem? It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. that Golus is a Chilul Hashem. When Yidden are in trouble, it's a Chilul Hashem, that the Goyim will say, Am Hashem Elim, these are the people of the Rebbeinu Shalom, or Me'atzam Yotzor, and he couldn't keep them in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have the power to keep them safe in Eretz Yisrael. So Golus is the biggest Chilul Hashem. When Yidden have Tzoros, that's the biggest Chilul Hashem that you can imagine. Because that looks like to the Goyim that obviously the Rebbeinu Shalom would want the Yidden to be in good shape, and when they have tzoros, they have problems, that is mechalel Shem Shemayim. So therefore, what's covered? Covered Hashem is when we get that insight to see that the bad things were also good. That all the sorrows which Yidden had, the golas which they had to go through, the suffering that they had to go through, everything is ultimately noivea from the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and when that is understood, that is quite shamayim, to show that the sorrows were also not because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam chas v'shalom is too weak to Am Hashem Elu, Me'atzam Yotzor. If he would have wanted to, he could have kept us in Eretz Yisrael. We were better off outside Eretz Yisrael. We didn't know how to handle Eretz Yisrael. And therefore we have to go into Golus to find within ourselves that level of Emunah in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and that level of Avodas Hashem, which would allow us to return to Eretz Yisrael. Hareini Noz Kvaidecho, Moshe Rabbeinu asked, I need to understand the answer to all these problems of Klal Yisrael. I need to understand, can you please show me how these chobonos can be letoiv? And Rebbeinu Shem said, lo yirani ha'odam v'chay. No, I can't, because as long as you are a member of this physical world, that is something which you are not ready to absorb. So I think that at this moment, when Moshe Rabbeinu had gone up to Har Nevo'e, that he had jumped up in one leap, not prevented by any of the stages, because he was completely now alone. This was Moshe Rabbeinu having cut off his yachas to this world. So here he was on Har Nevo'e. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam showed him Binyono uVeChurbono. He finally understood everything. That was what the Rebbeinu Shem showed him. That's what the Chazal mean when they say that he showed him Binyono uVeChurbono. What's Binyono uVeChurbono? So there's always this moshel which we have to understand how the rough life which Yidden sometimes have to live through, that is also letoiv. So they always give the moshel of a tapestry. So you look at the tapestry, so on the obverse side, it looks beautiful, but on the other side where the stitches are, so it looks like a big mess. But you needed that big mess on that side to create the beauty of the obverse side. That's what Rebbeinu Shem showed him. He showed him Binyono uVeChurbono. He showed us the obverse side. He showed us the beautiful, 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 beautiful picture which the tapestry has on its right side. And V'chobono, he shows how the mess on the other side is the thing that yielded it. I think that that's the pshat over there. And I think that that is also a chelek of Moshe Rabbeinu's klolius, which the Maral told us, that's what made him an excellent mechutin with Yisroi. Yisroi was the klolistic person who, as long as he didn't have everything, in Ruchnis versteht sich, as long as he didn't have everything, felt chosser, and therefore he ran to this Avodah Zorah, and this Avodah Zorah, and this Avodah Zorah. He didn't leave a single Avodah Zorah unserved, because he needed to know the whole, and why finally he felt his comfort when he came to Klal Yisrael, Ati Yodati, Kigodel Hashem Mikol Elokim. I found Klolius. I found the true Klolius. What I had thought was a Klolius that's hidden in the totality of all the idols, now I understand, as does is garnished, and that's not what I need. What I need is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, who is Koilel everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu found his appropriate mechutin in Yisroel, because in Yisroel Gufa, you have the bakosha, the bikosh of totality. And that was exactly right for Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is why Tzipora was the wife for him, because within Klal Yisrael he could not have found that fresh bikosh of Klal Yisrael which Yisrael had, because he had it outside Klal Yisrael, so that wasn't contained in Klal Yisrael, so Tzipora became his wife. So back to Yisrael. The Loshon of the Maral is over there, it's not in the piece which I quoted, and I don't have the other piece in front of me now, but the Loshon in the Maral in Perek Yutes, if you look there, you'll find that it says, and that is why Yisrael also had these seven names. We all know that Yisrael had seven names. Rashi brings it in various places. He brings it also over here at the beginning of Yisrael, because obviously there's a kasha which everybody would have to ask, because till now, why should he be called Yisrael over here? Why didn't Rashi ask the kasha earlier? That's another question which I deal with somewhere, but not over here. It's not for us over here. But Rashi says over here that Yisrael Sheva Shemas Nikroloi Vayishma Yisrael Koyen Midyon Chosin Moshe. So Rashi brings Sheva Shemas Nikroloi Ru'uel Yeser Yisrael Choyvav Chover Keni Putiel Yeser. So Yeser Al Shem Shiyite Pasha Achas Batoiro Vatosecheze Yisrael Lekishen Isgaye Vekayim HaMitzvah Hoysifeloi Ois Echad Al Shemoi Choyvav that he loved the Torah. And Rashi doesn't go on. He doesn't explain all the seven names, but he just gives us a sampling of three. Now, I want to understand that, because that's really where I'm getting to, about this yesod of klolius, of being a person who is attracted to a totality, who doesn't satisfy himself with the little bits and pieces. He needs the whole thing. So, what's the pshat? Choyvav. Rashi says, why was he called Choyvav? Because he was Mechaviv the Torah. We all know people who are Mechaviv the Torah. Maybe we ourselves are Mechaviv the Torah. I guess it's a difficult title to arrogate to oneself. But we've all met, Groyser mentioned, or seen, or read stories about L'chol HaPochos, people who are Mechaviv the Torah. But the pshat is like this. Do they have separate names? Do we feel the urge, if we see somebody who's really Mechaviv the Torah, so do we have the urge to call him Choyvav, Mr. Mechaviv? He's Yankel, or he's the Godel Hador, Rabbeinu Sonso, Rabbeinu Sonso, Rabbeinu Sonso. But we don't give him a new name. What is the pshat? How are we to understand that Yisrael was given, he had seven names. Now, Be'etzem, the Indian of seven names is, you have that by a number of things. The Gemara says that the Yetzirah is called by seven names, and the Gemara says that Gehinnom is called by seven names. Seven seems to be a certain totality. But, you see, it's different by Yisrael than by the other seven names. Let's take the seven names which the Yetzer Hara is called. Somebody called him Soine, one of them called him, I can't think now of all the names. I don't want to spend time now trying to recall all the seven names. But the pshat is like this, that by the Yetzer Hara, let's say, that is called seven names, he called him a Soine, he called him a Michshol, he called him whatever else that it was. So the pshat is like this, that each of the people in Tanakh, where these names are, who called the Yetzer Hara by a different name, so they saw a different aspect of his personality. I understand. Yetzer Hara can be a Michshol, and the Yetzer Hara acts like a Soine. That's not a contradiction to each other, and there's absolutely no reason why one person shouldn't use this particular name to define that particular aspect of the Yetzirah, and another person would use a different aspect of that aspect of the Yetzirah. So there's absolutely nothing strange about that. There's a Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu had seven names. Each one of those seven names indicated a different middah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in the Torah, he only appears as Moshe Rabbeinu. He doesn't appear as seven names. But Yisrael is not that way. Yisrael seems totally illogical what happens. He starts off as Reuel, according to that tzad that it's one of the seven names. The other tzad is that he was a grandfather. But on the tzad that is part of the seven names, he starts off as Reuel. Then later on, Moshe Rabbeinu was Roye, the tzoin of Yisrael. He shepherds the sheep, comes to the mountain where he sees the vision of the burning bush. Rabbi Nisham tells him, I want you to go to Mitzrayim, and he returns to ask permission from his father-in-law, can he go to Mitzrayim, and what's he called? Yeser. The story starts with him being called Yisrael and ends with him being called Yeser. Why? In other words, the names of Yisrael are confusing, where the other seven things that we mentioned are not confusing. Of course, the Yetzer Hara has different aspects. Fine, so he talks about this aspect, he talks about this aspect. Gehenna has these horrors and these horrors. They're not in stereo to each other. Moshe Rabbeinu had these various qualities, but in the Torah we don't see that. In the Torah we stick to Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is it mentioned? It's mentioned in Divrei Hayomim, by the list of names. V'ishtoi HaYehudia was so-and-so, and she had these and these sons, and Chazal say that was the Bishop Asparo, who was called Yehudia because she gravitated towards Judaism, and these seven sons who are mentioned for her are really all names of Moshe Rabbeinu, different qualities of Moshe Rabbeinu, memorials of different accomplishments of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's no problem. But over here, it's a jumble of names in the Torah. Who, do you call him Yisrael? Do you call him Yeser? Why at the beginning of the story do you call him Yisrael? And at the end of the story do you call him Yeser? And why do you call him Reuel? And why do you call him Chayvav? Alright, so he was Chayvav because he was Mechavis the Torah. We don't find anybody else who's called Chayvav because he's Mechavis the Torah. Like I said, there are plenty of people whom we know, or at least whom we have heard of, who are Mechavis the Torah. But we don't find a separate name for them. The Teretz is, I think, again, it's only what I think, I haven't seen this, but I think that the Pshat is, that by Yisrael, the Pshat is like this. That same, and I think the Maharal indicates that, because when he talks about Yisrael being after the Klal, that he wanted a totality, so he mentions the seven names also. I think the Pshat is like this. We don't feel that we need to give a separate name to somebody who's Mechabev the Torah. Let's say Yankel, let's say somebody called Shimon, and he is Mechabev the Torah very, very much. So I don't feel the urge to say, okay, instead of calling you Shimon, I'm going to call you Chaybev. Why? Because who is it that's being Mechabev the Torah? Shimon. So, it's okay to talk about Shimon. I, he's Mechabev the Torah, why don't you call him Chayvav? Because his name is Shimon. So it's Shimon who's Mechabev the Torah. Let's take a person. Let's take this theoretical Shimon. And let's go through a day of his. So in the morning he gets up, goes to davening. After davening, he's Kaveh Timla Torah, he learns. Then he goes to business. Then after he's finished in his office, he goes and picks up the kids from Cheder. And then he goes and he's Menachem Orel someplace, and then later on he ends up by Chasna. He's got a full day, and he did many, many, many different things on that day. So do we have any problem? How can you be Shimon? You did this, and you did that, and you did that, and you did that. Pasha, it's Shimon. It's the same Shimon who did this, and did this, and did this, and did that. Why not? Weiss euch that by Yisrael, it wasn't like that. That by Yisrael, it wasn't the same Yisrael who did this and did that. Since he was a person of totality, so whatever he did, whenever he did something, so it was his entire person. There was nothing held in reserve. When he was learning Torah, when he was Mechabev the Torah, let's say he did two things that day. He was Mechabev the Torah and he went to the Chasna. He went to a Chasna. So the Pshat is like this. He's Mr. Yisrael, and he did two things. He was Mechabev the Torah, and he went to the Chasna. No. When he was Mechabev the Torah, He was Mr. Chibuf. There was no Yisro in him. Nothing was held in reserve. His whole personality, everything that there was involved in that Chibuf of Torah. When he then went to the Chasna, it wasn't the pshat as Yisro, the same guy I davened with this morning in the Hashkoma Minyan, I met him later on by the Chasna. No, it's not the same person. Because when he was by the Hashkoma Minyan, he was Mr. Davener. There was nothing held in reserve. This was davening incarnate that he did. Later on by the Chasna, it's Mesameach Chosn V'Kala incarnate. That is the pshat, that the tendency of Yisro towards totality was Goyram, the seven names, meaning that in contrast to us, who may do many, many, many different things during a day, but there's no need to change our name. To change our name. Why? Because it's the same Moshe, it's the same Shimon, it's the same Yankel who's doing all those things. Why? Because even as he is doing them, he holds his own personality in reserve. He is not totally involved in this thing. We talked about the fellow, let's say he's by a mikveh meeting. So so who is by the mikveh meeting? Yankel, the same Yankel. So maybe by the mikveh meeting he's thinking about a business deal. Yeah, is that possible? Sure, it's possible. It's not the whole of him. It's not his personality who is there. It's him doing these things. But Yisro, it wasn't that way. There was no such thing that when he's at the mikveh meeting, he's going to be thinking of what his business. Because who is at the mikveh meeting? Mr. Mikveh meeting. That was his whole personality. I think that's how we have to understand Yisro, and that's how we have to understand Moshe Rabbeinu. So Hayotze Mitvareinu, if we want to take something out of this, we can take out from it, and I think that Lemaise, if we would be aware of that, or to the extent that we are aware of it, that helps us to be better people and better Yidden, is to try and make a total involvement in the things that we do. Wouldn't it be nice if when we are davening, so there is no personality whose mind can wander into this direction and that direction in the middle of davening. That if we, when we're by minyan, when we're by davening, so we're Mr. Davener, nobody else besides that. Of course we can't hope for these madregas which we're talking about over here. But be'etzem, that there is such an ideal, it's a good thing to know. In other words, that's something that we have to work towards in our lives, is the total, unmitigated involvement in every good thing that we are doing. Let's hope that we'll get there.